fashion.
Turn to the left.
Fashion.
Turn to the right.
Fashion.
Fashion?
It's fashion with Penelope Noir.
Morena Penelope Noir. How are you today?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good, thank you. We've got another sort of sad but amazing one to talk about this morning. Who are we talking about in the world of fashion?
I thought we'd talk about Issey Miyake as he passed away last week?
Yeah, 5th of August.
Yep.
Yeah, start of this month. Massive name in fashion, art, design, everything. Who was he?
Well, I guess for people who don't know, if we want to kind of describe his clothing, it was very innovative, sculptural. He mixed high-tech kind of creations with ancient kind of practice of like Japanese kimono, mm-hmm. which is like a, you know, one piece of cloth that's kind of taken off the loom and folded in different ways.
Yeah.
And he kind of took that kind of aesthetic on and used it. He cared about the relationships between people and cloth and folding and enclosing their bodies and about cloth fibres and techniques,
right.
Which is written in The Guardian. So that's kind of like the easiest way I can describe it. And he regarded kind of craft skills and technology and chemistry as crucial to clothing.
Yes.
And he didn't consider himself to be a fashion designer, but more kind of like a maker of clothing and looking at that relationship with the body and that sort of thing. I guess the most kind of famous clothing that people will probably know is Pleats Please.
Which is kind of maybe his most accessible, like ready-to-wear line as well, I guess you could say. It's sort of at a price point where more people could afford it. It's not cheap, but it's not, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars to buy one shirt.
Yeah, and he actually was really interested in that. And the reason that Pleats Please was kind of more affordable is the fact that, like, normally pleats are put into the fabric prior to the garment being made.
Right.
But his process was that he used polyester, and he would make the clothing, and then it would be layered in paper, and then they would use a special, like, a new kind of pleating machine that would bake the clothing. And polyester has a memory.
That's so cool.
So it would, you know, so the form would stay, which is pretty amazing.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
I was looking at, I mean, once he died last week, I was looking at lots of his stuff online, but a lot of people were sharing his collection from 2020.
Yeah, I was going to mention that one.
It's just so joyful. If you've got a little bit of time today to go and just find a short video on Instagram or something, it's, how would you describe it, Penny? Because it's just so bouncy, I think is a really good word.
Yeah, and I think that kind of sums up his clothing, because he was really interested in dance.
Yes.
And so the summer collection of 2020 has the models in the centre of the room. They come along and there are these circular kind of frames with the dresses in them, and they lower.
Hovering in the air, yeah.
They lower onto the model, who then puts her arms through the straps, puts a hat on, the hoop is released, and then they're dancing around, and these dresses are bouncing. Because you can imagine pleats have a lot of movement.
Yes.
And if they have a seam at the top and the bottom, they become like a concertina kind of piece of fabric. So they're like human slinkies.
Yeah. Just jumping around. I was trying to work out if it was the Turbine Hall at the Tate. It looked like it is, but I actually don't think it was. But
yeah,
some sort of similar warehousey, concretey space with all these colourful models just bouncing around in there. It's just so fun.
Yeah, it made me think, I just want a dress that I can jump up and down and,
yeah,
you know, be a human slinky, like you say. Interestingly, one of his most celebrated repeat customers was Steve Jobs.
True.
Yeah, he made him hundreds of black turtlenecks.
Oh my God.
With a specific to the millimeter sleeve length.
Wow.
Freaky, eh? He also made the Lithuanian Olympic uniform in the 90s.
That's cool.
He once said, material for clothing is limitless. Anything can make clothing. He used pineapple fibre in a bodice that he wove, which ended up on the cover of Art Form magazine in 1982. So he was using pineapple leather in a way
before everybody else was.
Yeah, and he was really, he had a lot of respect for material derived from fossil fuels like plastic, nylon and polyester, and his clothing can last for a really long time.
Yes.
So I thought I'd give you a little bit of history about him. He was born in Hiroshima in 1938, And unfortunately, he was, like, he lived in a small town close by and he was affected by the atomic bomb, as was his family and a lot of the people he knew. He actually contracted radiation sickness and his mother nursed him back to health but died 3 years after the bomb. And he didn't actually tell anyone this until 2009. He was really a private person and kind of kept that to himself. Images in his sister's magazines gave him interest in designing clothes. But of course, in the 1950s in Japan, that wasn't a male kind of avenue. So he ended up doing graphic design at Tama Art University in Japan. And there was no way of studying fashion in Japan at the time.
Right.
You know, so he ended up going, or haute couture. So he went to Paris in 1965 and interned under LaRoche and Givenchy. But it was the 1968 student protests that kind of really affected him. Because and he it made him have a lifelong kind of connection to wanting to create clothing for ordinary people,
right?
Regardless of gender, size, or anything like that. So in 1969, he went to New York and studied under Jeffrey Bean, who was a guy who made like evening dresses and stuff and denim and sweatshirting.
Oh, that's
cool. And also
cool.
was an expert in mass production.
Aha.
And so that's where Isamayake kind of studied that. But then he got radiation sickness again, went back to Tokyo, borrowed money, opened his studio, which became a collaborative thing. Like, he got all the designers to work on everything. And he did his first show in 1973 in Paris, which was like sculptured high-end clothing. And it wasn't until the 90s that he ended up doing the kind of production for more ordinary people.
Right.
Yeah.
It's quite incredible to hear how his life's affected the work he made, because it seems like an extremely, you know, A plus B equals C. You can so see how he ended up making the type of work he did. It's so crafted, it's so beautiful, but it is kind of genderless. Before that was something that people were, like, you know, specifically marketing their clothes as, I guess. And it's also accessible in a way that maybe other high-end fashion isn't still, you know, that accessible. That's a fascinating journey that he had.
Yeah, and he actually created a lot of costumes for dancers.
Oh,
and,
right.
You know, when you think about his... Like, I remember when I was younger, I just remember it being kind of like clothes for architects.
Yeah.
But I didn't really think about the dance aspect. And when you look at videos of dancers wearing the clothing, it is so fascinating to watch the movement of the clothing and that relationship to the body.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, it's
and
so
he's
cool.
obviously a genius. You
Absolutely.
Know?
And apparently a really lovely man too. We had a text last week from, I think it was Kevin, who said he worked with him briefly for a couple of years in Tokyo, and that he was just lovely. And we were also chatting about this off air before. He had like a non-linear hierarchy. Everybody was democratically in the same space in the atelier in his workshop. So it's pretty cool, eh?
Yeah.
Amazing guy. Very sad to see him pass away. Long life, though. Very long life. Into his 80s, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, especially given his beginnings.
Totally. Yeah. Well, thank you for bringing us the work of Isamayake today, Penny. Very much appreciate it.
Thanks.
Highly recommend everyone goes and checks out that gorgeous collection from 2020, though. It's just so fun. It'll make you smile.
That was Fashion with Penelope Noir.
We are the Goon Squad and we're coming to town. Beep, beep.
Beep, beep.